There's a seeming paradox in the way Hashem responds to the Jewish people after the Chet HaMeraglim. On the one hand, as we know, Hashem wanted to kill the entire nation because of this grievous sin, but Moshe intercedes on their behalf. And then the Torah tells us in Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Chaf, V'yomer Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha. We know Hashem forgives the Jewish people because he says so explicitly to Moshe. And yet, in the very next few psukim, Hashem continues to tell Moshe, but these same people who I've just said I've forgiven, they are not going into the land of Israel because of this terrible sin that they did. In fact, they are going to be punished and wander around the desert for 40 years until they all die out. And only when that generation is gone and a new generation that did not sin with the Meraglim has emerged in their stead, then that new generation, untainted by the sin of the Meraglim, will be able to go into the land of Israel. Well, what's going on? Didn't Hashem just say he forgave them? Moreover, if you look later in the Perek, after the plague that initially kills the Meraglim themselves, the people actually go up. They want to enter into Eretz Yisrael right away, which would seem to be a very good faith effort of actually demonstrating tshuva. We know that a critical component of tshuva is to be in a similar situation and then do the right thing, even though you had previously done the wrong thing. Well, here the Jewish people are saying, okay, we realize our mistake, we want to go in right now. That's a very demonstrative act of tshuva. Moreover, in that very same pasuk, it says that the people explicitly state why they want to go into the land of Israel now. Ki chatanu, they admit that they sinned. So we have a kind of a vidui, a hakaras hachet, a maisa of tshuva. Hashem explicitly forgives them on the one hand, and yet, completely confoundingly, Hashem is still nevertheless punishing them and making them wander in the desert for 40 years and die out and not letting them go into the land of Israel. What is going on? So the Dubna Magid in his Sefer Ohel Yaakov gives a beautiful explanation to this by way of a fascinating parable, a mashal, which of course is his characteristic style. And the mashal he gives is of a very wealthy man who had a daughter who he wanted to find a shidduch for, and he was proposed two possibilities, either the son of a very rich man who was known to be corrupt and coarse, to put it mildly, or the son of the rabbi who himself, the chassan, potentially the boy, was a very big talmid chacham and a tzaddik. So the rich man says, listen, I have enough money, let me make a shidduch with the rabbi's son. And he tells the rabbi, listen, I'm willing to pay for almost everything, but I want, at the very least, you should pay a little bit. Pay for your son's clothing and maybe a little jewelry for my daughter. And the rabbi says to the wealthy man, listen, I'm sorry, I have no money, I cannot even do that. And at that point, the wealthy man gets upset. He says, forget it, I'm not doing a shidduch with you. And he goes and makes a shidduch with the other business tycoon, despite his misgivings about the person's corrupt character. Short while later, when this man's relatives hear about the shidduch that he made, they are beside themselves and they prevail upon him that, listen, you've made a humongous mistake. You cannot make a shidduch with this guy. He's so terrible. He's so corrupt. He's so coarse. You don't want to be family with him. He realizes his mistake. He goes back to the rabbi and says, fine, let's do the shidduch. And I'm even willing to renege on my original demand. Now I'll pay for everything. You don't have to do a thing. To which point the rabbi says, I'm sorry, but it's not a shidduch. What do you mean? He explains, because now that I saw that you're willing to walk away from a shidduch with my son and our family for such a lowly person who only represented money, I see that you clearly do not share the same values as our family. You clearly do not value Torah. You clearly do not value Midos and Derech Eretz, the values of our family, the values that my son personifies. If you're willing to walk away and to go, of all people, to this other shidduch, clearly you are not a family and this is not somebody that we want to get involved with because we clearly do not have the same values. Similarly, says the Dubna Magid, that's what happened here. Eretz Yisrael is the right place for the Jewish people because of its spiritual properties. And you need to appreciate those spiritual properties. But the very fact that the Jewish people, based on the report of the spies, were willing to reject that and said, we want to go back to Egypt. And for what? Because as we read in last week's Parsha, the salty fish and the cucumbers and the melons, because they had peros in Mitzrayim, for that you want to give up Eretz Yisrael? You've shown your hand, so to speak. Clearly, you're not the kind of people who appreciate the holy nature of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Hashem says, it's not a shidduch. You're not the right people to bring into Eretz Yisrael. Now that you've shown that you don't appreciate Eretz Yisrael, you're simply not appropriate for the land. Maybe technically you did tshuva, in a certain sense. That's why I'm not killing you in a dramatic act right now as a punishment. But we're going to wander around until you die out, because you're clearly not the kind of people who can come into Eretz Yisrael. What emerges from this beautiful interpretation and parable of the Dubna Magid is that part of our interaction within our relationship with Eretz Yisrael is not just from the perspective narrowly of a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, of living there, the mitzvah of building Eretz Yisrael, of defending and conquering Eretz Yisrael, or even all the mitzvahs that Eretz Yisrael allows us to do, like Shemitah and Trumas and Maisos, etc. But rather, there's a specific notion of chibas Eretz Yisrael. We have to love and appreciate Eretz Yisrael. There's an attitudinal component which cannot be sacrificed. The Dumna Magid doesn't quote this, but it would seem to support his interpretation, is the Pasuk in Tehillim, Perkovav, V'yamasu be'eretz chemda, lo'heminu li'dvaro. In that sense, the Tehillim is saying that this generation, they were Moes, they rejected, they didn't appreciate the Eretz Chemda, a land that's supposed to engender respect, virtue, love, desire, appreciation. They were Moes by that. They didn't respect that. They rejected that. And therefore, that's why they couldn't go into the land of Israel. This idea that Eretz Yisrael also requires an attitudinal approach of chiba is confirmed as well, for example, in the Gemara in Ksubis, well known, that talks about the various chachamim kissing, literally kissing the rocks and the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, including in the city of Akko. And then it tells us that Rabbi Chanina would fix the highways, would fix the roads. And Rashi there in Ksubis says, why was he fixing the roads? Machmas chibas Eretz Yisrael. He fixed the roads because he loved the land of Israel and he didn't want it to get a bad name, a bad reputation, that, oh no, this is a place that has rocky roads, that has potholes, etc. And it all came from the fact that he loved Eretz Yisrael. In halacha context as well, we see this in the beginning of Masech the Gittin, Daf Beis Amad Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that a get that was written in the city of Akko needs to be treated with various halachic details as if it was written in Chutz Laretz. And the Rishonim all asked, how could you treat Akko, the city of Akko in northern Israel, as being as if it's in Chutz Laretz, when the Gemara in Ksubas, which we just alluded to, says the rabbis kissed the rocks of Akko because clearly it is Eretz Yisrael. What's going on? So one answer given by both the Ritva and the Ramban is that Ein Hachanami, in the time that the Jewish people came back in Ezra and re-sanctified the land, what's known as the Bia Shnia, they didn't resettle and repopulate Akko, and therefore maybe in the time of the Gemara it was missing a certain level of Kedusha. But nevertheless, says both the Ritva and the Ramban, Chibas Aretz Lo Batla. The love, the attitude we have to have even for a city like Akko, which may not have had the full Kedusha in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Chiba, the love, was there and can always has to be there. So this idea, what you see in the Dubna Magid, is confirmed in numerous other sources, how important it is to have the attitude of Chiba towards Eretz Yisrael.